Praise God. Tonight we will look at three realms of prayer. And I'm going to focus on the third realm because you probably understand what the first and the second realm is. Let's go to God in prayer. Father God, we praise you and thank you for your precious word. Thank you for this time that we can come to you, Lord, and prepare our hearts and our lives to minister to you in prayer. Father, we thank you for the privilege of coming before you. We thank you, Father, and thank you for your word that you unfold to us even right now. We always and promise to give you the glory, the honor, the worship that is due unto you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. As we look at prayer again, and I emphasize how important prayer is to the ministry, and in fact, it's the only way and the only method by which you build your Christian life. And if you're called of God, especially in the ministry, you can never be successful unless you're a man or woman of prayer. All you have to do is look at the epistles of Paul and realize how much he is a man of prayer. Almost every epistle he keeps telling the people he is praying for them. And sometimes it amazes me because people who are called to the ministry or people in the ministry themselves think that they can do God's work just merely in a natural, with natural training, or even with Bible school training, or even with their skill and knowledge that they acquired from the experiences of life. And then turn around and neglect one of the most important things that is the key to whether a ministry succeeds or fails, and that is the pillar of prayer. It is the backbone of everything else that we do, prayer. And if you want to succeed in the spiritual realm with God, to be a person to who have power with God as you would have power with men, you have to excel in prayer. When you speak and when you pray, God himself begins to move on your behalf. There's power with God and power with men. To succeed in the spiritual, we have to be people of prayer. And to succeed in the natural, some people don't understand it, but for example, let's say in the natural financial realm, to make the first $100,000 takes a lot of effort. People slog for 40, 50 years sometimes to accumulate that much. To make the first $1,000,000 is even more difficult. And there are different realms that you break through. And we realize how much work is involved, how much sweat is involved, and how much dedication is involved, even in the natural, to accumulate wealth or to accumulate talents. And this is what I want to make it very clear. It takes as much work to accumulate wealth or to gain prosperity in the spiritual as it does in the natural. Don't think that the spiritual realm is a shortcut, my friend. The spiritual realm is no shortcut. Just as much work as it takes to accumulate $100,000 and to bring forth $100,000 so that you could do things with it, it takes as much work in the spiritual. It takes as much work, it takes as much effort, it takes as much sweat, and it takes as much dedication. There's no shortcut in the spiritual. The laws of God are applied in the spiritual. Your benefit is this, that when you apply the spiritual laws and receive natural benefits, you grow spiritually. Whereas when you just simply apply natural laws and receive natural benefits, you only gain naturally. You have no progress in the spiritual. Added to that, the spiritual side effects and benefits are far greater. So always remember that you don't get something out of nothing. The spiritual realm of prayer is no shortcut. And so we're going to look at the three realms of prayer. In the Old Testament, you would notice that they have those three realms, places. One is called the Holy of Holies. The other is called the Holy Place. And the third area, which is on the outside of the holy place, is called the outer court. And these three basic shadows speak also about the realm of God's manifestation to our lives.
In the outer court are two pieces of furniture. One is one has to do with the brazen altar. The other is a lever, and both are made of bronze. And when you enter, to your left you see a lampstand, and to your right you would see a table of showbread. And as you go forth, right before the second veil, you will notice the a special altar there called the altar of incense. And if you go into the altar of incense, you would see only one piece of furniture called the Ark of God's Covenant. There are these three realms of prayer. Some people, when they pray only in the outer court. Outer court prayer are for young believers. They are for young believers. And as we talk about the different realms of prayer, don't mistake me that we ignore them at all. The only way you can get into the most holy place is to come through the outer court. You can't sort of land from the top. It's covered. There's only one door. You have to definitely pass through the outer court into the most holy place and then into the most holy place. So there are those three realms. Now, in the outer court, it speaks about the realm where we just receive forgiveness of sin, and it is speaking about the realm where you're just bringing your sacrifices to God, entering His court with thanksgiving, and then the lever, the brazen altar represents Jesus, the Lamb, the power of the blood. The lever represents Jesus, the Word of God, the power of God's Word. And it represents the beginning of God's Word in your life. You're just beginning to understand God's Word and how it applies to your life. So the outer court prayers go something like that. It has to do with, Lord, forgive me for my sins. Lord, supply my needs. See, the people who come, the people who come to God in the outer court come to receive God's blessing. And so there is a realm. It is the outer court prayer is a prayer of, give us this day our daily bread. And God placed it not at the first one, but right somewhere below. As we approach God, that's the first place. And it is important. I wouldn't say that it is not important. See, if you're burdened with the things of this life, and they're pressing you down, and tomorrow you're just going to be chased out of the house because your rent was due and you didn't pay, and doesn't know what your food is going to be on your table, the next day you're going to starve, die of starvation and malnutrition, and these are all weighing down on you. There's no doubt that you cannot do anything but be concerned about those things. But the secret is to learn to bring them to God and pray through on those areas. But no matter how much you do through all those areas, I want to emphasize there's a realm of the spirit in prayer where you could enter deeper than that. That is what I call the babyhood stage. You say, oh my God, how many Christians are seen in the babyhood stage? That, my friends, is all babyhood stage. The babyhood stage is when you're coming to God for your needs. You're coming to God whenever you need help. In fact, every time you fall into sin, you say, God forgive me, you just went back to the outer court. Forgiveness is in the outer court. The most holy place are where you're supposed to walk a holy walk with God. And so all these realms of your personal needs, personal desires, all these things are outer court prayer. You can imagine that probably 95% of Christians are still in the outer court. The veil has been opened, but they're still in the outer court. Still in the outer court, still beset by their needs. And the world is that way. You ask the people in the world what they're living for, they're literally living for just the outer court experiences. Things with to the kingdom of God, it is fringe benefit. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added unto you. So all these are fringe benefits in the kingdom of God. And the world is putting it as the main benefit, or the main goal, the main pursuit in life. And sometimes what happens after we are born again, that worldly principle and the spirit of the world, see, affects our thinking. And we get overly concerned until about 95% of our prayers are outer court prayers. And God wants us to move further. God wants us to move deeper than the babyhood stage. Now don't go around condemning others when they pray that way. Every baby Christian starts that way. And it doesn't mean that a mature Christian or an adult Christian or father Christian does not pray that way. They do, but it's a small percentage. Not as great, not as big. They still do, but it's a smaller percentage. Otherwise, Jesus wouldn't add, give us Judea, daily bread in. He added it in. So don't jump to a conclusion with truths like that. You could actually use the truth of God and turn it into something negative. Just like you could go to an unbeliever and you could tell them, hey, you're going to hell. Is that right? It's right. Is that a truth? Yeah, it's a truth. But that's not the way truth is supposed to be applied. You don't help them. The most important thing is we must apply truth to help people, not to destroy or condemn them. So remember that there's an outer court level of prayer that people would move into. And then they could cross over from time to time as they watch the things of the Spirit and the things of God, and there's a fellowship with deeper Christians. They enter into what I call the second realm of prayer, which is the most holy place. That's not too bad. That's the next step you got to enter into. See, the Corinthian Christians were baby Christians. Paul says you're just carnal, you're just based in Christ. And he wanted them to move on into the most holy place. He couldn't even talk to them about the most holy place yet. He could only tell them about the holy place. Not the holiest of holies. Not there yet, just the holy place. And in a holy place, you have the candlestick that represents Jesus baptizing the Holy Spirit and all the nine gifts of the Spirit and all the various ministries of God and also all the realm of the Holy Spirit. And the candlestick represents the power of the Holy Spirit. And over on the other realm, we have the table of showbread, which represents Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the power, the name of Jesus, all the fullness of the inheritance is in Jesus Christ. And then we have the altar incense. But you notice in Hebrews 9, the altar incense is actually in the most holy place. God in the Old Testament shifted it out so that the priest could change the incense and refill it regularly. It actually belonged to the most holy place. In Hebrews 9, examine carefully. He says, within the veil, and that's the other thing. And he's talking from a heavenly perspective also. And so, as we see, the holy place, the middle court, or the most holy place, the prayers go this way. Oh God, give, I want the gifts of the Spirit. Oh God, I'd like to develop in these gifts of God. So some of the prayers that I have encouraged you to pray are in this realm. It's good. You cannot have the gifts unless you desire and you covered after them. So remember, when we're talking about different realms of prayer, we are not saying do without them. But we are saying understand the perspective from God's side of view. Sometimes perspective helps. You could be living in a jungle all the time and don't know what a jungle looks like from the top. But it helps if you could just go to the height of an eagle and look down and say, oh, now I understand where I live. And then you go back to your jungle surroundings again. It gives you a better picture of where you're at and what you're doing and how it affects the whole picture. So what we're giving is perspective. Prayers that live in the most holy place, in the second realm of prayer, are prayers that regards to the gifts of God, the ministries in your life, and oh God, you know, I desire to be an evangelist. Oh God, I want these gifts to operate in my life. And oh God, I want to understand the power and name of Jesus and all that it means. So all these realms, the second realm is a realm where you have spiritual desires. Now notice they are different from the outer court prayers. Outer court prayers relate to your natural man. They relate to desires to fulfill and to experience the blessings of God in a natural realm, the provisions of God in your natural realm. So any prayers for house, cars, finances, job, all these are outer God prayers. I know they are very important in this life, but they are outer court prayers. And they're teaching this area, you who are coming for overnight prayer, I treat you as stronger Christian. I mean, this is where you separate the strong from the weak. And so we only teach this type of things where we believe that you're willing to go further in God. And you can imagine how much teaching is in the realm of the outer court and in the holy place. Now in the holy place, it is desires for the things of the Spirit. Desires for the things of the Spirit. Remember, they have a place in the Christian life. And you cannot move into anything unless you desire, unless you pray for them. So the gifts of God, Paul says, cover them, no problem with them. Just remember the perspective. That is the realm of the most holy place, the second level of prayer. And then there is a third level which I'm going to focus on tonight, because in some of my other teachings, although I did not mention to you the whole perspective, I have already mentioned about the different realms in, I have already taught, for example, the week before, on desiring spiritual gifts. Although you may not realize the perspective from where I'm talking about, it was on the holy place area to help you to move into. But tonight I want to bring to you across within the second veil, where is that realm of the altar incense, praise and worship that helps them to enter, and where the Ark of the Covenant is, into the depths of the third realm of prayer. The third realm of prayer is so deep that very few people have entered into it. I would say in the whole of church history, we probably have just a few hundred out of the millions of Christians who enter into the third realm of prayer. And even in the Bible, we only have a few of them who enter into that realm of the third realm of prayer. Most people are satisfied with the first realm. They would, after all, they got their natural needs met. You know, there are a lot of people who are just satisfied having their natural needs met. They are not concerned about their spiritual position in God. They are not concerned about what God wants them to do in the ministry, in the body of Christ, whether God wants them to function in a gift or two. So you don't move further than that. And I feel sad for the Lord Jesus Christ, because these people are missing the whole perspective of heaven, why Jesus died on the cross. But it's always that way. Human beings are imperfect, and the church is not perfected yet, and not everybody desires to move to the fullness that Jesus wants. The strange thing that I have discovered as I walk with Christians, fellowship with Christians, is not everybody really wants Jesus 100%. This may sound shocking. I mean, they're thankful that Jesus died for their sins, but not everybody really wants Jesus to come into their life 100%. And if you walk with God 100%, those who walk with God 90% will understand you, that 10%. And any percentage of difference costs you suffering. Cause you suffering. The one who walk 90% in the spirit will persecute the one who walk 100%. The one who walk 50% will persecute the one who walk 90%. Why? Because the flesh always persecutes the spirit. If you walk 90% in the spirit, that means 10% must be in the flesh. See, there's no middle ground. You're either in the spirit or in the flesh. So as far as percentage is concerned, whatever percentage of your life not yielded to God, that must be in the flesh. It cannot be in the spirit and the flesh at the same time. It's either or. There are many compartments and departments in our life, and so that there are some areas that some of us may not have yielded to God yet. They are in the spirit, they are in the flesh. Some areas that we have yielded to God, and they are in the spirit, in the spirit. And the surprising thing is, not many people really want Jesus 100%. I will tell you, if Jesus were to come right here tonight and say, "Church, I'll be with you. I'll come and appear to you three times a week, but before I do that, each of the three nights that I come per week to appear and to minister and to walk and fellowship with you all, I would like you all to do this. I would like you all to come 2 hours early to pray and 2 hours early to worship, and so altogether 4 hours. And I would say, you would expect that all the Christians in the whole of KL and BJ will come. My friends, they won't. They won't. If Jesus were to walk today on any city of this planet Earth, he would still experience what he experienced in the book of, in the Bible, in the Gospel. The fact is, not everybody wants to walk with Jesus 100%. Not everybody wants to walk with Jesus 100%. So tonight what I'm sharing with you is to bring you further and to put a desire in your heart, which I know is the desire of our Father, that more people walk closely with him as Enoch walked, as Elijah walked, as Moses walked. More people will walk closely with him and walk within the second veil. The realm of the second veil is a realm where you're no more so much concerned about the natural desires or the spiritual desires, but you're completely, like a song goes, lost in the presence of God, and you're in communion with God. And the realm, the third realm of prayer, which we're talking about, the third realm of prayer is where you actually sit in a boardroom with God, planning the things of God. You say, does God permit people to go into that realm? Yes, my friend. There are few that have entered in. But the third realm of prayer is where you have walked with God so close that you're literally in the boardroom with God. Now, God doesn't need us. We need him. Yet, God enjoys working together with us. And the greater closeness you walk with God, the greater closeness God will have you involved in a boardroom meeting. If you understand what boardroom in a company sense, that's where the major decisions are. Let me illustrate some men of God who have walked with God into the third realm of prayer, and they go into the board meetings of God. Praise the Lord. I say, brother, where in the scripture is that? Please turn to Genesis chapter 18. Now, that we are going to talk about principles that apply to the third level of prayer. The third realm, we call it. And again, I must emphasize, in case people misunderstand, I'm not saying that it is wrong to pray the first level and the second level. Understand that? Right? Say after me, say, I understand. Right? And so don't go around criticizing and doing. And remember, you know, people must be allowed to grow. That's the strange thing about truth. If deep truths are given to people who are not ready for it, they will straight away take it and abuse it and use it to torture others. For that reason, God doesn't reveal some of his truth until we have changed in our character, in our life. And so in Genesis chapter 18, God makes a statement here in verse 17, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm doing? Abraham walked with God. We can't fathom the depth of which he had walked with God up to this time. We have only a glimpse of his life in these few short chapters in Genesis. But there's something in his life that has brought him into quite a close relationship with God. And this man had walked to the extent of walking into the third realm with God. See, previously, there were many things that God was working in his life. And here he walked into the realm where his fellowship with God was so deep that God said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm going to do? And so God spoke to Abraham about what he's going to do in verse 20. Because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry against it that has come to me, and if not, I will know. Then the man turned away from them and went towards Sodom, but Abraham still stood before the Lord. And Abraham came near and said, will you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Now here is Abraham. He's in the boardroom with God now. God said, He's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham, remember, now he's a board member. Isn't it interesting to be a board member? Isn't it teaches that I want you to catch the debt that we can move with God, to enter into the boardroom of God, where God permits a certain amount of participation. God is still the chairman of the board. And Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ are there. The great angels of God are all over the place. But in the affairs of this earth, those who do walk into the third realm with God are allowed into the board meeting. God gave him permission when he said, "Will I not show Abraham what I'm doing?" Since you know Abraham. And Abraham said, "Suppose there were 50 righteous within the city, would you also destroy the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous that were in it? Far be from you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" And the Lord said, "If I find in Sodom 50 righteous, I won't destroy." Now, my friends, there's a boardroom meeting. God said, "I'm going to destroy." Abraham said, "Lord, if there are 50 righteous, you know, would you destroy the righteous with the wicked? Wouldn't you spare the wicked?" That is a board member speaking. If it were anybody else talking except Abraham, God would not be listening, my friend. But because Abraham had walked with God to the extent he has moved into the third realm, that is why some Christians don't understand that if they are walking in the first realm, they don't have that much power with God, or that they think they have. They don't. But when you walk into the third realm, you got great power with God, my friend. Your character is quite molded by that time. That's why you will not misuse and abuse that kind of power. What kind of power am I talking about? I mean, when you walk in the third realm with God, if you literally ask God in certain areas, He will grant you. It is a dangerous power also. Remember that when Jesus was tempted in Matthew 4, He was tempted to turn the stones into bread. I personally believe He had the power to do it. And the temptation was to abuse power for the first realm. Jesus is in the third realm all the time. That's to abuse power for the first realm, to meet His own selfish needs, although He was in need of food. And He was hungry and He was thirsty. He refused to use the power that He had unless God wanted Him to. And that's the wonderful thing. We're going to talk about principles that apply to the third realm, for us to walk carefully in the third realm. Because the third realm is such, if you later understand from Elijah's life, you have such power with God that you will say, "God, send fire," and the fire would come. Say, wow. That is why people who walk in the third realm, you better be careful. You better be careful. People who walk close with God in the third realm, you don't take lightly, my friend. They are very much like God. We will look at another case before we go to the principle. Elijah. Let's talk about, you know, people who were walking in the third realm. I'm giving you examples of people who have walked into the third realm with God. In 2 Kings chapter 1, 2 Kings chapter 1, in verse 9, they heard that Elijah was on a mountain. He probably walking with God in the third realm, as usual, spending time with prayer. In verse 9. Then the king said to him, sent to him a captain of 50 with his 50 men. So he went up to him, and there he was sitting on the top of a hill. And he spoke to him, "Man of God, the king has said, come down." So Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, "If I am a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 men." And fire came down from heaven and consumed him and the 50 men. Now you don't simply disturb someone who walks in the third realm. But let me tell you, the world is such, made in such a way, the closer you walk with God, the less people understand you. They can only understand you, they walk in the same realm. In the natural, we realize that. How can you understand if you are a school teacher who doesn't know anything about computer, and a computer expert gives all the computer formulas, you wouldn't understand things. Even in the natural, between specialists, they don't understand each other unless it's a common ground where they could meet. How much more between the different realms that people walk in? And if the more, the closer you want to walk with God, please prepare to be persecuted more. Please be prepared to be misunderstood more. Please be prepared to walk alone with God. Aloneness, but not loneliness. Because God is with you. Now Elijah walked in a third realm, and he had such power with God. And there are few people in church history that walked in the third realm. One of them was John Knox. John Knox. And the Queen of Scotland said, "I'm not afraid of all the Englands, all the armies of England or France, but I'm afraid of the prayer that one man." He walked so close to God that the Queen realized whatever he asked from God, God hears. Notice Elijah, he had such power with God, when the armies come against him, they will finish. So there is a realm that you can walk with God, and it's only through the avenue of prayer. Through the avenue of prayer. Not all who are in the ministry walk in the third realm. I want you to remember that. There are even those in the ministry who only walk in the first realm. Don't just take it for granted. There are some who walk in the second, and fewer who walk in the third. Not all who want to walk in the third realm need to enter the ministry. Because you only enter the ministry if God calls you. Even if God didn't call you, you still can walk in the third realm by your closeness with God. So it's not limited to one who is in the ministry or not in the ministry. It's open to whosoever will, since Jesus opened the way for us. But the sad fact is how few do really enter into that realm. And here, Elijah three times was told to come down. And when the 50 soldiers and captain didn't return, the king sent another man. In 2 Kings chapter 1, the next captain came with his 50 men in verse 11. The man of God does, and the king says, "Come down quickly." Wow, he's even more rude. Action. Remember, he's a captain. A captain is used to ordering people around. People who have been in the army are used to ordering people around. And so here is a captain. And people who are high in business circles are used to ordering people around. So he is used to ordering people around. So he comes to Elijah. "Man of God, come down quickly." And Elijah said, "If I'm a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 men." And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50 men. You see, why does the Bible record all these things? To show the difference between those who walk in the first realm, second realm, and the third realm. You have such power with God. You see, what great power is this? But the amazing thing is this. You can never walk in the third realm until your character is so changed that you won't misuse God's power. And by the time you reach that level, and God's power is given to you, you don't misuse it. Because there are principles that are involved that I'm going to bring forth tonight that govern walking in the third realm. And then the next captain comes. Please, parents, see that there's completely no noise. We're talking about something very sacred. Please send him downstairs. Yeah. I mean, this is a very sacred area, right? The things I'm sharing with you are very, very sacred, right? I will not share this if it's not for the overnight prayer. If you had not been regular in praying, this truth may never have come out. But tonight God just burdened my heart to share it, to open the way for us to understand the walk that is within the will of God. And so the third group came in verse 13. Again, he sent a third captain of 50 with his 50 men. And the third captain of 50 went up and came and fell on his knees before Elijah. He said, "Please, come with us." And then the captain said, "Man of God, please spare my life. Give chance. Spare my life." And Elijah, and he says, "And the life of these 50 servants of yours?" My friend is the captain. Say, "Hey, all my soldiers are servants to you now. And let our lives be precious to you." Do you know why? When he came and he saw the 102 bodies scorched and burned around, he put 1 + 1 together, and he knew it equals 2. So Elijah is known as the prophet of fire. So he saw all these, oh my. If he's not careful, he's going to join them. Instant funeral. Instant cremation. It's dangerous. So there is danger involved when you walk in the third realm. But then let me also say the danger is also to you who walk in the third realm. Because there's a sacredness that the greater God gives you authority, the greater, the higher the responsibility. Any time you have a chance of getting a greater reward, then the chance of getting a greater punishment is equal. Yet the blessings are there. The blessings are there. And then we have Moses. He also walked into the third realm. In the book of Exodus, chapter 32, Exodus 32, he said, "Brother, are there many of these kind of truths?" Yes, my friend. You can never finish studying the truths of God. Never. There's so many depths into the things of God. And remember that what we teach, we can never teach 100% either. Right? And what Jesus came and he lived his life, I believe he only placed a small percentage inside. There's so much more about him that John says if everything is written about what he did and what he said, the books cannot contain it. What does that mean? That means there's a lot more that we have to discover in what Jesus has brought for us. Chapter 32. In verse 7, the Lord said to Moses, "Go get down, for your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They made themselves a molded calf and worshipped it, and sacrificed to it and said, 'This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt.'" I mean, they were worshipping a golden calf. And the Lord said to Moses, "I've seen this people, and indeed it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, and I will make of you a great nation." Moses said, "Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians speak and say, 'He brought them out to harm them, to kill them in the mountains, and to consume them from the face of the earth'? Turn from your fierce wrath and relent from this harm to your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of I give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever.' So the Lord relented from the harm which he said he would do to his people." You know, Moses entered a boardroom.
He entered a boardroom and he had a conference with God. Say, God, don't destroy them. And because he's a board member, the Lord listened. Isn't that interesting? What authority, what power is this? It's the third realm that we are talking about. Here's Elijah operating in 1 Kings chapter 17. Verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, that's the first introduction of him, of the inhabitants of Gilead, said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at..." Whose word? Can you say that again? Say that louder. He did not say the Lord's word. Say, "My word." How did Elijah reach that position? Because he prayed and he prayed and he prayed. He prayed through the first realm, and he prayed and he prayed and he prayed through the second realm, and he prayed and he prayed and he entered the third realm in a board meeting with God. And in his board meeting with God, he got God to agree with him not to have rain. Now he's a board member. He came down, told the king, who is the king compared to the King of Kings now? He's a board member with the King of Kings. And he entered the palace and he said, "Who do you want to see?" The guard said, the doctor. "The king. Who are you?" "Elijah." "Where from?" "The Tishbite." Soldier, look at the next. "What's a Tishbite?" Tishbite, something that bites, my friend. So in the end, somehow, he carried such an air of authority that he just walked through while they're thinking. And before anybody knows, he was in a king's throne room. And he said, "There's not going to be any rain under I say so. Bye." Now, some people, when they read this, they would like to do that. My friends, you don't do that from the first rank. There are a lot of people who are only first rank Christian. And they go around saying, "Oh God, judge that person, judge this person, fire here, fire there." First rank Christian. All they know about is, "God, meet my needs. Oh God, don't forget about my husband. No? Don't forget about my food, Lord." All these things, "God, fire there." And they have dreams and visions of going before the king of Malaysia and say, "Alas, at my word." And all they know is the first realm prayer, the outer court prayer. No wonder they never work. There's a whole realm inside there, Elijah. And here's where I want to show you that Elijah had the authority to stop the weather more because he asked God than because God wanted it. Look at the book of James, please. James chapter 5, verse 17. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed earnestly that it would what? Would rain? Say, would not rain. Say, he prayed that it would not rain. You see that? I know that he prayed later that for it to rain. But the Bible tells us he prayed for it not to rain. And the only way you can do that and get God to do something where you got such power with God as you have power with man is to walk into the third realm. To get to be a board member. Now, this is an interesting topic we touch on, but I'm not telling you how to get in there yet. So for additional tips of this series, which we'll cover next year. Anyway, I have not taught how to get into the third realm.
It's an interesting ram. It's a powerful ram. And you could see a key here in chapter 5, verse 17. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly. The first condition that you have to get, that on me, to get on the third realm, is to absolutely be breathing prayer in your life. There is no doubt that we have to start at the first realm. They are like steps. You cannot bypass them. See, when you begin to learn to turn to God for your needs, it is better than the world looking to themselves and leaning on their own understanding. Right? That is at least good. You're not depending on your own intelligence or your own strength to meet your needs. You realize that your source is God, and you practice the principles of tithing and offerings, and also you learn to pray in your supply. So through operating faithfully in the first realm, you begin to see results until it becomes second nature. See, you could operate in a realm until it becomes second nature to you. If you are new to operating a gift of God, and you begin operating at first, there is a lot of effort. But as you become familiar with the gift of God, it becomes second nature to you. So there is a realm when you first step out where it takes great discipline and effort to be obedient and to learn to turn to God and not lean on your own understanding. And it could be that you begin to learn to trust God, to pray through on natural areas. And you're so successful at the first realm, guess what? You sure will sometime look into the second realm. And you break into the second realm where you begin to pray. Now you become a person, man or woman, of habitual prayer by then. And although you have a lot of people in the outer court, there's some people who are not even in the outer court, haven't gone in yet. Know what they do? Every time they have a need, they never turn to God. They turn to themselves first, or turn to human beings, or lean on the arm of flesh. So at least it's a good start in the first realm. Then you break into the second realm, you begin to ask God for more spiritual things. You begin to ask God about the spiritual gifts and the ministries of God. And then you begin to have the answers and you become successful at that. And then you see way ahead there's a realm that you want to move in. You move into the third realm. Obviously, by that time, you are quite a prayer expert in the first and second realm. That's the key, my friend. You have to start praying in the first two realms and be so accustomed to it and so habitual in it until it is ingrained as a second nature in your life. And then you would move until you could pray on anything earnestly. I would say the third realm belongs to those who spend hours upon hours upon hours upon hours upon hours and upon hours and upon hours and upon days and upon days and upon weeks and upon weeks and upon months and upon months and upon years and upon years and upon decades and upon decades. I better stop there to discourage you. But that's emphasis enough in communion with God. People don't realize the benefits of spending long hours with God. All over the world, I hardly meet Christians who spend more than 2 hours with God. You talk about 2 hours, they look at you as if you landed from Mars. That is why I say there are very few Christians who walk in the third realm. You don't get there by spending just 2 hours, my friend. 2 hours is peanuts. 2 hours makes you an expert in the first realm. You say, wow, Yes, that's why I'm encouraging you to be regular in overnight prayers. Because in overnight prayers, you spend 4, 5, 6 hours with God. And it becomes a lifestyle in your life. Some of you may have the privilege to see it in God's board meeting. Wow, is it this? Thank you, I'm going to be regular from this time onwards. See, if you see it in perspective, see, people who don't see the value of spending long hours in God, it's because they haven't tasted that, so they don't know the value. And it's tremendous thing. There is no way except to spend hours with God. Hours. I mean, it is not even an overstatement. Even that is an understatement. Spending much, much time with God. So if you spend about 2 hours with God, maybe 1 hour in prayer and 1 hour in the Word, that is bare minimum survival in your daily needs in realm number one. Say, brother, what must I do to get into realm number two then? I don't want to leave the outer court. Some Christians live and die in the outer court. Some Christians never even enter. They were destined or destined to be in the depth of God, but they never enter through wrong teaching and through fellowshipping with the wrong people. I would assure you, if you fellowship, choose who you fellowship with. If you fellowship with negative people, I can tell you there is a certain percentage of Christians who are very negative. I don't care what their position is. I mean, you could be even, you know, in a ministry or in a top position. If you are negative, I don't like negative people. I abhor negativism. Because God, the God I know, and my Papa God, is very positive. So is Jesus Christ, and so is the Holy Spirit. And as they abhor it, so do I. And so negative people, I just spend whatever necessary time with them, but I don't spend longer time with them. It grieves the Holy Spirit and it grieves my spirit. But if you choose to spend proper time in proper fellowship with Christians who love God and love the Word and who want to press further, it will have a subconscious influence in your life to press further. If you spend your time in fellowship with the wrong people, it's going to eat up your desire for God. And you say, I wonder why last time I desired to read the Bible, now I don't. I wonder why last time I desired to pray more, now I don't. Who have you been fellowshipping with? See, in the early days of my Christian life, I noticed this. Every time I meet with a man who walked close with God, it stirred me to walk close with God. See, that's the same to you. I realize that it is something that's common. But if you fellowship with people who are of the world, it tends to slowly get the spirit of the world. Not that it possesses you, but it influences your thinking. And if you fellowship with cynical, critical, negative people, sooner or later you're going to pick up from them. The sad thing is that it comes so subtly that you don't realize the change in your own self. I have noticed people who change because they fellowship with the wrong people. Lord, let me touch on that on Sunday too. Inner healing. It's important. So it's important who you choose to fellowship with. But if you fellowship correctly and fellowship with people who love God, there's going to come a subconscious influence to spend more time with God. See, when you're walking with people who spend two hours with God as a peanut, it's going to cause you to want to spend more time with God. If you're walking around with people who spending 15 minutes a day with God is like a Herculean task, you're not going to go much further, my friend. And so 2 hours... remember, this numbering of hours is only approximate. There is no real number of hours, but at least I want to be more practical and give you some sample. Okay? That is, that part of the numbering is my spirit talking and not the Holy Spirit. Understand? Small star. Right? It's what I sense, you know, in my spirit. It may help people to break through. In the second realm, it seems that it's only those who enter into regular weekly periods or consecrated time with God that they could move into. What do I mean? Seems to be those who not only spend those 2 hours regular per day, but they will even consecrate one day a week to the Lord and just go on to have a day of fast or something. And the Christian don't realize it, but it's a blessing to be worshipping God on Sunday long hours. It not only has a, you not only receive more from the Lord and give more to the Lord, it has a very subconscious influence on your whole life. It tends to put a greater hunger of God in your life than you realize. And added to that, it helps you move into the second realm. See, Sunday then becomes the day you consecrate to the Lord. You realize, hey folks, when I go to church, I'm not sure I get out at lunchtime. In fact, we may get out at dinner time. In fact, we may not have dinner at all. What does that make to the Christians to come on Sunday? It makes them consecrate that day to the Lord. They're not going to plan many things except to worship the Lord on that day. And so, at first it looks a little bit like compulsion and flowing along, but later on when people begin to see the benefits, and they begin to reap spiritual rewards, and sometimes they reap it without even realizing it, that it's because of part of the process of training them to worship God long. That we see, if you begin to spend regular times with God, where you learn to spend maybe 4 or 5 hours in God's presence, weekly, at least once a week, seemingly to me, once or twice a week, where you have particular days where you spend 4 or 5 hours with God, you seem to break through in the second rank. The gifts of God operate easily in your life, like second nature. You flow into the ministries of God with no problem, while others are still struggling. You know, there are a lot of people who pray 2 hours a day and think they want to break through in the second rank. My friends said break through in the first rank. So they're trying to use the second ram, first ram method to bring us into the second ram. No way, Jose. If you want to walk in the second ram to the fullness, learning to spend time with God for 5 hours at a stretch or 7 hours at a stretch is peanut. Say, wow. Yes, my friend. 2 hours per day is peanut for the first ram. See, if you spend 2 hours with God every day, you notice something. Your financial life becomes prosperity. Your physical life becomes health. Not just healing, you walk in health. See, all the natural things will just flow together. Promotions come like nobody's business. Blessings pour into your life. See, these are the side benefits. And sometimes people are like children. You got to tell them to do things before they like doing them. Eat your spinach. I don't like ice cream, but you can't live on ice cream. And so sometimes training the church of God is like, wait, you know, you have to keep training people while they're complaining all the time like little kids. And, you know, let the service get longer. You know, but wait till they grow 2-3 years and then we all meet in heaven, they say, thank you. Huh? See, they won't thank you down here, but thank you up there. So sometimes the family of God is that way, and any family of God is just like a family, right? With family problems. And so in the first realm, it's 2 hours. In the second realm, it seems that you have to learn at certain stretch to pray 5 to 7 hours. I would say 7 would be quite a nice number. So 7 is quite a perfect number. And so 7 hours at a stretch. And part of that is already being done without your realizing it. When you attend our services, like some people spend from the first service till the end of the second service, there is a subconscious work in their life that they don't realize. Remember, I'm talking about time spent with God. Not necessarily just prayer. Time spent with God. That includes worship, reading the word, and a prayer, all mixed up together. But the total time spent with God. And let's say if you have been with us in the first service, start at 8, you go right on until the afternoon. Man, you can calculate how much time you spend with God, nearly 7 hours on a Sunday. Right? And it's easy because everything is programmed for you. Then you spend a special day by yourself, Saturday. I mean, you're going to do all these things and so many distractions. Phone rings, people call you, invite you for lunch, invite you for late breakfast. And so all these distractions, and it's not so easy. And it seems that those who are willing to spend time with God at a stretch in regular period, weekly periods, or maybe about 7 hours, once or twice a week, seems to make a breakthrough in this second realm easily. So as you walk in the second realm, it becomes peanuts to just spend and out of 7 days a week, to spend two of those days with about 7 hours each with God. That will be about 14 hours with God. And wow, 14 hours with God. And then you will walk in the second realm, and people will say, wow. You know, last time they thought you were from Mars and you talked about 2 hours. Now they think, really, you are from Jupiter. Further off. And so you say, hey, I just spent time 7 hours with God. Huh? 7 hours with God. How can anybody do that? And people ask, you know, hey, how can a person spend so long time with God? What about Jesus who spent whole night with God regularly? Right, let's compare ourselves to Jesus. Don't compare ourselves to the one next to us. Let's compare ourselves to Jesus. That's what he wants us to do. He is our goal and our standard. So you have to learn to spend weekly times of 7 hours until it becomes peanuts with you. I mean, it's the easiest thing to just spend time in God, 7 hours. Then you only reach the second realm. The perfect will of God takes place in your life. The gifts and ministries of God flow out easily. While others are still struggling, you just flow in it. And while others are still struggling to move into evangelists in the pastor's office, because you spend that much time with God weekly, waiting and fasting before God, you just move into those areas with no problem. In fact, you overtake them with ease, without a struggle. While they're still struggling, you just flow along. Then as this second realm becomes built and ingrained in you, that's that third realm to move into. That third realm is where you literally live just to live with God. Every free moment you got, you run to the Lord. Every day, every free moment you have, you enter into that realm and pray. Every free moment you got. Every time you finish your duties. See, in this life you got physical duties to do, you got physical things to do, right? So God doesn't want you to enter that realm so much that you don't bathe, never change your clothes. Why? Because anointed sweat. Indeed. And, so, you know, your hair looks like it has never been cut for 10 years. And, you know, you look more like an orangutan by then. And the sweat is all over you in thick patches until you look more like a monkey. You know, praise God. You know. I don't know about you, but I think Jesus did bathe. I don't know what you think when Jesus walked in 3 years on earth in his ministry. I think he still took care of some natural thing. But what I mean is, you learn to run into the realm of God. As if you only live for the realm. So man, this is what happens when you enter more and more into that realm. Let's say you're working, and I mean you have moved into first realm, second realm. And so after whatever you need to do, you know, instead of sitting down 10 hours on your papers, the moment you got back, you bathe, you run into the closet. Oh Lord, I miss you. And worship God. Every day you just run. If you're a family person, please don't neglect your family. Right? Be balanced in everything you do. But every moment you got, you run into that ram. You run into that ram. If you're in the ministry, every moment you got away from people, you go to God. You go to God. And you go to God. And uncountable hours. Sometimes it could be that you spend about not just 7 or 8 hours twice a week, but it becomes like a daily thing where you spend daily time with God, 8 hours. And then now you go around saying you spend 8 hours with God daily. People think you're from a different solar system. Way off the other side of the Milky Way. But there's a realm you enter into. I believe that's how Enoch walked with God and was not. See, Enoch walked so close with God in the third realm that God said, come on and finish it, get into that God's realm. And that was the end. He never came back. He just walked with God. Look at those people who walked into the third realm. Look at Moses. God required his body to be raised even while others were not raised. Look at Elijah. Move into that third realm. Wow, what a blessing. So in that first key. Hey God, there are three more keys. Then in the first key, maybe I emphasize as the first key, is to spend hours with God. Hours. And hours and hours with God. Every free moment you got, you go to Him. You just continually go before Him, continually go before Him, continually go before Him. And the day will come, God will say, son or daughter, come on and sit at my bond meeting. Wow. And God's gonna say, shall I not show it to him or her? What I'm going to do in Kuala Lumpur, in BJ, or in your city, whatever name it is. Shall I not show it to him? Wow, isn't that fantastic? Yeah, the board meeting. And remember, when in the board meeting God reveals something, it is still in its planning stages. You see, outside of the board meeting, any revelation cannot be changed already. It has already been confirmed and signed. But any revelation within that board meeting has an element of discussion permitted, because the chairman permits it, or the father. It's a wonderful thing to walk into the third realm, the boardroom of God. So in the first realm, hours in prayer. Hours in. You literally live in prayer. You literally just live for God. You can understand now, by the time a person reaches that stage, how little importance the thing of the world becomes. You hardly even think about your natural thing, although you are, to a certain extent, as far as you remember, you just say, Lord, I just thank you for all these things. You become so powerful in this first realm too. While others are still struggling, if you walk from the third realm into this first realm here, and you pray a first realm prayer, your answer is, what it may take 2 years for someone to get an answer in the first realm, it's only a few days. Wow! What power with God you have, and with men. See how powerful the prayers are. And my friends, my brethren, and beloved brethren, when you come for the overnight prayer, you have opportunity to learn to move into the third realm. Count yourself privileged, my friend. There are not many places that will have such a meeting that allow you to have such an opportunity to enter the third realm, to commune with God, where we are not bothered how you pray, where you pray, but as long as you commune with God while you're here, and you break through into that third realm. Hours of prayer. That's why we provide such a meeting like that, to produce third-rank Christians in God. Three other keys that I'll just mention. Second key takes place as you enter into that realm. You really know the heart of God. See, Abraham knew the heart of God. Shall the judge of all the earth do right? He knows what is right. Moses knew the heart of God. He said, Lord, you see, by the time you reach the third realm, you're not designed for your own thing. You know what God promised Moses, as we read just now? God said, I will make you a great nation. He's not interested. God said, I will make you a great nation. All the rest, I burn them up. How do you like, you know, everybody burn up but you? Moses is in a boardroom with God. He said, no, Lord. What will the others say about what you do? You see, he begins to have the mind and nature of God. He begins to think about what will he reflect on God, not on himself. He said, no, Lord, others will say this of you. Not that God doesn't know, but remember God gave opportunity for people to enter the third realm, to enter his boardroom. And in the third realm, still in his planning stages, you see the thing about Moses in this second key, you would know and understand the very heart and nature of God. That's why third realm people are full of God's love. Only when you're full of God's love can you understand the third realm. For God is love. And you are dead to self. All these are past. In the third realm, the second key, you know the heart and nature of God. See, Elijah understood it when he came to God and he prayed through until he reached the third realm. Because he knew that God was displeased. And all God was waiting was for somebody to come to the extent that he could use. The third key about things that happen in the third realm. The first is you know the heart and the nature of God. The third, as we have seen in some sample example, is the change in your own very self and in your own very nature. Where Let me put it this way, where you are interested in only bringing God the glory due his name. When Moses prayed, he said, Lord, what would they say about your name and about you? Where you literally become an extension of God. You have completely died to yourself as a separate being, and you have given yourself where you are an extension of God, and you are only interested in things that has to do with God, not even in yourself. Moses was offered to have a nation and he refused that. He refused. But your key interest is in God's will. And being an extension of God's will to others. Hope I express it correctly and clearly in this third key. You literally become an extension. And the thing about it is this. That God make us with free will. We have a choice to choose our own way. By the time you reach the third realm, you have chosen not to choose anything but what he chose. You have yielded yourself to the extent, like what Paul was saying, he is bound by the Spirit. You literally become an extension of God Himself. And God could do anything with you as He wills and sees fit, and you don't mind. You don't mind it whatsoever. So the third key, you become an extension of God Himself. That is why He permitted you to be in His boardroom. So the first key is long hours in prayer. Second key, understand the nature of God, your heart and nature of God. The second regards God in your code, how much you know God. The third is how much you realize that you are no more yourself, but you're fully an extension of God. And it's a revelation to your own self and your position in God. And the fourth has to do with knowledge. Knowledge of His plans and His purposes. Now this has to do with the mind of God. See, in the first key it has to do with communion with God, long hours of prayer. In the second key, it has to do with the heart of God. In the third key, it has to do with the hand of God. In the fourth key, it has to do with the mind of God. Moses said, "Remember thy covenant, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." See, he knows the will of God, and he has such knowledge and grasp of the Word of God, the second nature, and the will of God, and the mind of God in that matter. He knew that that was the depth of God's mind to keep His covenant, and he brought it forth. Elijah sends the mind of God. For it's in the word that God said, if His people turn to idols and sin, that the heavens will become brass. But it took a man to understand that word and enter that third realm, and in the board meeting, God got clearance to stop the rain. It's a wonderful realm to enter in the third realm. You literally lose yourself. By the third key, you are lost to yourself. You are no more yourself. You are God's property. God will protect His own property. I know that objectively everybody is God's property, but subjectively not everybody actually is God's property. That's why I'm talking. The third realm is where it's 100% commitment, 100% for Jesus. And you belong to God. God could do whatever He wants with you, and you'll be obedient. And the fourth key, your mind is the mind of Christ. Have the mind of Christ, Paul said. And you work in the mind of Christ. Go to God in prayer. Father, we praise You and thank You for Your precious word. We pray, oh God, that Your Spirit has unfolded this truth, this sacred word and Your sacred truth and revelation. And You would stir the hearts of Your children to move into the depth of Your Spirit. To move, oh God, into the depth of Your mind and Your heart. How few they are, Lord. How few they are. And yet Your heart yearns that more of Your children will walk into that realm. How few they are. How few they are. Oh God, we pray that through this word, Your children hear, and those who hear this word in other forms, under the sound of this word, let Your Spirit, oh God, come upon each one. And You would stir the very core of the beings of Your children. For as your coming draws near, Lord, there will be a greater and greater percentage of your people that walk in the third rank. As the church mature, Lord, and enter into the fullness of what you have for the church, we pray, O God, you take this word, stir the hearts of your people all over the world, that we would have a great number, Lord, walk in this realm. O God, O Father, touch your people tonight. Touch them wherever they are who hear this word, and draw them into your third realm, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise God. Let's stand together and sing a song, and we'll just bring that globe here. Thank you. And if you have written whatever requests you have, and just bring it forth and put it in. Just sing a song and you just go into prayer. Within the veil, I now would come. Thank you. Into thy holy place to look upon thy face. I see such beauty there, none other can compare. I worship thee, my Lord. Within the veil, as you sing that again, we slowly off all the lights. Within the veil, I now would come into thy holy place to look upon thy face. I see such beauty there, none other can compare. I worship thee, my Lord, within the veil. Ramah Shibriyano. Oh.